弟兄姐妹、朋友们平安。
Peace to all of you, brothers and sisters.
大家认识这个东西吗？
I don't know whether you recognize the picture that's shown on the projector
高度
screen.
显微镜下的照片。
This was taken with the high resolution under the microscope.
埃博拉病毒。
So this is probably most of you are known about this. It's Ebola virus.
大家认识这两个家庭吗？
And in addition to that, I don't know, you recognize the picture that shows two family, a couple.
这是两个从美国远赴非洲的医疗宣教士的家庭。
Those are the two family that went to the West Africa for a missionary trip. They actually provide medical service to the people in West Africa as well.
33岁的宣教士 Kent 医生。
Dr. Ken Brantley, 33 years old.
59岁的宣教士 Nancy 医生
，and a missionary, Nancy, who's also a doctor.
他们在前往非洲进行人道医疗援助期间，感染了埃博拉病毒。
So during this humanitarian aid to West Africa, they unfortunately afflicted with the Ebola, the disease.
根据世界卫生组织报道，埃博拉病毒最早爆发是在哪一年？1976年。
You probably know the first records of Ebola disease was in 1976.
在苏丹和刚果共和国。
Actually happened right there in Sudan and Democratic Republic Congo.
当时两个国家分别有151和280人死亡。
Yeah, about 150 and 200 people died respectively in those two countries.
那后来有几次的爆发，但是从今年3月份以来，西部非洲有4个国家。
So there's still after that still a couple outbreak, but most recently there are 4 countries involved this major epidemic.
这4个国家再一次爆发埃博拉病毒出血热。
So this is really a great outbreak from this Ebola, hemorrhagic fever.
那用一位联合国官员的话说，说这次感染传播的速度和规模是前所未有的。
And one of the officials says this spread of this is really unprecedented. It had never happened like this.
截至今年8月31号为止，确诊和疑似的病人有3706例，死亡人数已经达到1848。
So the record up to August 31st shows that people have been confirmed with the afflicted disease is about 3,000. And 6 cases, and the people die has recorded about 1,848 people.
那其中参与医疗救治的医生和护士有240多人受感染，其中有120多位已经死亡。
And participating doctors and nurses, there are about 240 people that are inflicted by this Ebola disease, and then among them, there's about 120 people of them died so far.
令全世界所有的人最担心的就是，到目前为止，对于埃博拉病毒感染的预防和治疗没有确定的药物。
The most concern for the whole world is really there's really no defined cure for this, no virus being actually developed already.
也就是说，目前既没有预防的药物，也没有可靠有效的治疗的药物。
So there's really no preventive medication at all. There's also no medication that can cure the disease.
而由于埃博拉病毒造成的出血热的致死率，大家知道多少吗
？I don't know about the fatality rate for this disease.
90%。
About 90% of people will die.
但值得庆幸的是，刚才我们看到这两位医生宣教士。他们在8月初被专机接回美国以后，在埃默瑞大学的附属医院里边，经过医生和多方的专家共同的攻关，他们在8月底已经痊愈出院了。
So as mentioned, these two missionary family they go into this humanitarian aid to West Africa. They were sent back to U.S. by a charter airplane. And then they were being attended to for the cure at hospital in Emory University Hospital. Now they all recover completely at the end of August.
对他们使用的药物呢，是一种还在进行实验中的药物。
And the medicine they use is still being developed.
所以同样的跟他们注射的一样药物的有一个西班牙的一个神父，也用了这个药以后不久就不治死。
Another patient was being treated with this type of medicine. Unfortunately, he died.
但是大家知道吗？ 当这两个人美国政府用专机把他们接回美国以后，在美国有富人，还有一些名人，竟然公然的站出来反对将他们接回美国来治疗。
Probably some of you heard of the once there was decision to send those two Americans back to states. There's a lot of things that people confronted that allowed them to send back to the states.
毕竟肯特医生他所携带的埃博拉病毒是第一次进入美国境内。
And plus, the doctor Brantley is the very first time they actually kind of like bring the disease to the state, so people are really, really concerned.
其实在这个国土上有人恐慌，甚至打电话给国家疾病控制中心。
So they actually call some people really have a great concern. They even call the CTC about this type of activity.
还有一些公共人物，他们公然的就说，像肯特医生这样的人前往利比亚执行使命中，就说他们去那儿传福音，染上了埃博拉病毒。像这样的基督徒，你们应该在美国国内传福音。
Then actually some was mentioned the name over here. They was actually confronted an idea. Why don't you guys spend more time in the States to spread the gospel instead?
为什么要去那个冒着90%死亡率的那个第三国家去服侍啊？
Why do you have to take this kind of life-threatening risk, go to a third country to do this kind of thing?
那大家看见没有？这位女士称肯特医生是什么呀？
She kind of named Dr. Brantley as an idiot to do that.
称他是白痴。那照此说法，下边奥巴马总统已经决定派遣3000名美国军事人员去到现在西部非洲埃博拉病区。那这3000个军人是不是也是一群白痴啊？
So as you have already heard, President Obama already decided to send 3,000 military personnel to do this kind of help in West Africa. Are we going to say them all idiot too?
这3000军人要和医疗工作人员一起协作，短期内在西部非洲的几个国家协助建立17个服务中心。
So those military personnel are going to work with the medical service person over there to set up 17 clinic centers.
每个中心将设100个床位，而且每一个中心每星期要为当地培训500个医护人员。
That's going to be a 100 beds in each clinic center. Not only that, every week they all determined, they also decided to train 500 people to do this type of medical service in West Africa.
今天我们就借着尼希米1章1到11节这段经文，一起来认识了解。 一个旧约时代的白痴，尼希米。So
when you use this this passage we just read, Nehemiah chapter 1 to 11, I call Nehemiah as one of the idiots back in the recorded in the Old Testament, so we can learn some lesson from him.
委身服侍的生命魅力。That
he's demonstrating awesome lives of submission to a mission to serve God.
古代以色列王国在大卫的儿子所罗门之后，分裂成为南国和北国，以色列，南国犹大，北国以色列。
As you know, the kingdom had divided into north, Israel divided into a north and south kingdom after King Solomon.
那由于他们两个国民背叛上帝的缘故，先是北国在公元前722年被亚述帝国吞并。
Because of rebellion, their rebellion to God, the North Kingdom Israel was first being conquered by the Asia kingdom in 720 BC.
所以了解圣经、旧约圣经，了解以色列人的历史，要记住两个年代，一个是主前722年，北国亚述被吞并。南国是哪一年？主前586年。
So there's two kind of time we all need to remember. 720 BC, the North Kingdom was taken by Asia, and then the 586 BC, the South Kingdom was being conquered.
到了主前586年，后来兴起的巴比伦帝国的军队第三次攻打耶路撒冷。So
at the year of 586, Babylon kingdom attacked the southern Judah for the third time.
所以那一次南国犹大全面沦陷，金碧辉煌的耶路撒冷圣殿和雄伟高大的城墙全部被毁。
So at that time, the Jerusalem is completely being besieged by Babylon, and all the walls and the gate all being destroyed in Jerusalem.
圣殿中所有值钱的东西，以及国王、达官贵人、祭司、军队，还有能工巧匠等等所有的人都作为战俘被掳到巴比伦。
All the valuable thing in the temple, including also the king, and also all the officials, priests, and also capable of people, they all being taken as slavery, going to Babylon.
那在耶路撒冷还剩了很少一部分人，这是一群什么样的人？大家还记得吗？
So there's still some remnant left in Jerusalem.
一群最穷的穷人。So
those are people who are really, really poor.
那南国犹大前后经历过三次被掳的劫难。So
the southern kingdom being besieged or conquered three times.
第一次被掳是主前606年。The
first time is in 606 BC.
那神说了你们要经历70年，也就是在他们第一次被掳的70年之后。 主前536年。So
according to the Bible, after 70 years after the first besiege, that was then that will be 536 BC.
已经取代了巴比伦统治的古代波斯帝国的国王，在神的感动下，实行一种怀柔政策，就是宽大的政策。So,
as you know, the king Cyrus from Persia, who is taking and the Babylon kingdom. Now he has a little bit of a better policy to help the Israelites. He's the first king that allowed the exile to return to their hometown, Jerusalem.
那转眼之间，也就是到了今天我们所读的圣经。 这一段时间是到了公元前445年。
And then the scripture that we just read is 445 BC.
公元前606，公元前445，这之间相距了多少年？
So delta between the difference between 606 and 445.
简的话是大约160年的时间。
If you do the math, it's 160 years.
那我们可以想象，160年时间，犹太人被掳到巴比伦，一直到了后来的波斯的时候，他们有多少代后代了？
So how many generations would you imagine that all this Israelite being being kept in Babylon and after Persia being the kingdom? How many generations they could have?
160年的时间，第二代、第三代、第四代、第五代应该有了吧
？So you could have second, third, fourth, maybe fifth generation Israelite that was being brought up in Persia or Babylon kingdom.
那在那个时候，他们中间大部分人已经融入了波斯帝国的政治、经济、文化的生活中。So
most of them all pretty much all being like so to speak cultivated in the Persian culture.
那其中有一个名叫尼西米的以色列犹太人的后代，做了波斯王身边的酒政。
And then on this scripture, you learn about Nehemiah become the cupbearer for the king of Persia.
做到王身边的酒政，所以首先他必须是国王非常非常完全信任的人。
So being a cupbearer, you gotta be someone who is the most trustworthy person for the king.
因为他要负责挑选，甚至预尝，甚至监控国王的饮食。
Because he need really carefully select and maybe taste and then monitor all the diet that king gonna have.
不单是国王的一日三餐，而且国王的所有的迎宾呢、嘉庆呢、宵庆呢、娱乐活动啊，他必须不离开国王身边。
Not only he have to take care of kings, all three meals, also all the welcoming, hospitality, and recreation events, and also all the major feasts, all he need to be involved.
所以尼希米所担任的这个官职，我们可以说是一人之下。
So kind of his status in the kingdom is like he's only one position below a person, and he's above pretty much everybody.
那我们可以想象一下，就是眼下主前445年，尼希米他的生活状况怎么样？他个人的生活状况。So
in 445 BC, what do you imagine the life of Nehemiah?
就像今天在奥巴马总统身边的一个人。 身贵，身份显贵。
So it's like a person next to President Obama is really has a royal status.
安逸，富裕。
Very stable and secure position and life.
这就是尼希米一章一节和十一节后半部分所描写的。
So this is kind of like a background information recording Nehemiah chapter 1 verses 1 through 11.
尼希米记一章一节，以下的记载是哈加利亚的儿子尼希米的事迹。亚达薛西做波斯皇帝的第二十年，基斯流月，我尼希米住在波斯京城苏珊。十一节后半部分，那段期间我是皇上的司酒长。So
as we already read the words of Nehemiah, the sons of Hegliah, in the month of Kis, left in the 20th years while I was in citadel of Suda. And then the very last one, I was the cupbearer of the king.
那我想请问，在波斯朝廷中身居要职的尼希米，他如果有护照的话，他的国籍一栏应该怎么写呀？
So in our language today, if you consider Nehemiah, he's having such an important job in Persia. What kind of passport, quote unquote, would he have?
一定是清清楚楚写的波斯国。So
he must have a passport of Persia, right?
就像今天，无论我们从哪个国家的人来到这个国家，无论你自己的身份，我们的身份是什么，在这个国土上所生下的孩子，一定是美国国籍。So
like no matter where you come from, if your children was born in this country, you will get a passport in the United States.
我们可以进一步再思想一下。Now
let's think a little bit deeper.
当我们在这个国土上生活、生养的第四代、第五代人，做了美国总统身边的高官之后，他怎样思想自己的身份？So
if we have our descendants, so to speak, after four or fifth generation, they become holding a very important position next to President Obama. And what would he think?
第四、第五代，如果远一点，我们可以看看我们的第二、第三代人。Maybe
the
他们还愿意承认自己移民后代的身份吗？Maybe
the fifth and fourth generation too far. What about second and third generation? Would they still admit they are kind of like immigrants?
那圣经里边这位身份显赫的尼希米呢？What
about Nehemiah, who holds a very important position in Persia?
他不单承认自己犹太移民的身份。 而且主动的打听、去关心、去关怀，距离自己已经是早在四五代之前的那些难民。Not
only he admitted he's a Jewish immigrant, also he actively participated in trying to understand what happened to the people.
那他说关心的那个故乡的状况是怎么样呢？就像我们经文中所讲的。
So how does he care about the situation back in his hometown?
尼希米记1:2-3，我的兄弟哈拿尼跟一群人从犹大来到苏珊城，我向他们打听从流亡巴比伦归回的犹太同胞和耶路撒冷的情况。他们告诉我，那些从流亡归回的难民正遭遇大困难，受到凌辱。他们又告诉我，耶路撒冷的城墙破损，城门被烧毁。
So recorded over here, Hanani, one of my brothers came from Judah with some of other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnants that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back into the province and are in great trouble and disgrace, the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gate has been burned with fire.
我们稍微的往前面追溯几卷书圣经，就会能够意识到那些流亡归回的难民，他们能不遭大难吗
？So let's go review a couple passages before this chapter. They probably have a reason why they have suffered such a great disgrace.
当年他们被掳的时候，犹大国最后的一位国王西底家是怎么样被掳到巴比伦的
？So as you probably recall, the last kings of Judah, that is, Zedekiah. How did it get being captured to Babylon?
西底家国王是被剜了双眼，用铁链子像狗一样拴着，作为俘虏，掳到巴比伦，然后老死在监狱里。
So he's being handcuffed with a copper shackle, and then he was being jailed, and he died in prison.
所以被掳的犹太人一直以来成了巴比伦和周边国人的讥笑、讽刺。戏耍的对象。
So the person, Jewish exile always been a subject of being ridiculed.
即便是在公元前536年和公元前458年，先后有两批大约60,000人左右的犹太难民返回了故土耶路撒冷。
Also including in 538 BC and 458 BC, there's about two groups of people, about 60,000 people that returned to Jerusalem.
但是我们可以想象，一个被战争彻底毁掉了，一个荒芜了十几年、几十年、上百年的一个国家的首都，在那片废墟上，区区60,000人，能做些什么？
So you can imagine this ruin of a city after all this warfare. How the 60,000 people can do anything effectively to bring the city back up.
所以我相信当年的犹大的国土与波斯帝国相比的话，在经济、文化、食品、卫生、生活条件等等以及人身安全各个方面非常相像今天的西非国家与我们生活的这个美国之间这种相比的。
So that's kind of do a little bit comparison. The Jerusalem or Israel back then and the status of the Persia is almost similar situation in terms of what we have right now, West Africa and United States, in terms of the economy, their cultures, and all the living standards.
那我们回到尼希米，这个已经进入了波斯帝国最高官宦的阶层，何必还要这样屈尊，暴露自己犹太血统的背景呢
？So this Nehemiah such holding such a royal position, why does he want to kind of degrade himself or condescend himself to consider all this situation that his countrymen is enduring right now？
为了他那个脸面，他何必去与那些流亡的难民们去交往？
But you know, why do you want to do this to this remnant of Jerusalem to do anything to do with them?
不单是交往，去询问，去关怀他们，而且后面的经文记载他还向波斯王求情，要亲自回到耶路撒冷去支援，去带领那里的国土和圣城的重建。
Not only cares about them, he trying to find something from information about remnant. He also wanted to ask the king from Persia to give him things that he can go back to Jerusalem to help those people.
所以用刚才那位女士的话来讲, 尼希米简直就是一个旧约时代的什么呀?
So according to the lady kind of words, he is kind of, we can consider maybe an idiot back in the Old Testament.
那刚才斯蒂芬牧师祷告的时候，我们今天要有挑战。那现在我们就做一个挑战，作为生活在美国的今天的美国的基督徒，我们设想一下，当年尼希米对自己身份的定位和心理的挣扎。So
Pastor Runyon just prayed about the challenge. So let's try to have a challenge right now. If you think about Nehemiah, the status he have and the challenge he has right now, that may be something for us to think about.
面对这一帮自己的血统的难民同胞, 而又面对他自己现在的这个身份, 这位尼希米, 他表面的身份是什么? 波斯王朝国王身边举足轻重的高官。
So Nehemiah holds a royal position in the in Persia.
那他又是具有希伯来血统的犹太移民的后代。He's
also a descendant of immigrant from Jewish.
就像今天我们的脸一样，否定不了的。Just
like our born skin, that we cannot
forget. 那他要效忠哪一边？ 他要委身哪一边?
So to speak, how he's going to do it, which side he's going to pay the homage to?
他是效忠委身于自己生下来就归属的, 或者呢是曾经宣誓加入的这个国籍的国家和民族呢?
So is he going to pay the homage to this this kingdom that he said he's going to do to pay all the royalty to, or he's going to pay the homage from what he was born as a Jewish?
还是效忠委身于自己祖先的那血浓于水的国家和民族啊?
Or pay homage to his people.
大家现在思想一下，甚至可以讨论一下。
So you can.
他应该效忠于哪一边?
So think about the situation that Nehemiah is being put in up against to. Which side he's going to pay the homage to?
有没有答案? 效忠哪一边?
So he has two different identities, which
有没有?
One he would pick to pay homage to?
对于尼希米来讲, 他的答案这两个都不是, 还有第三个答案。
In terms of what he's paid homage to, this is none of them is really what he paid homage to.
因为他有第三个身份。
Because he had a third identity.
这第三个身份是什么呀?
What is it? His third identity?
他是属神的人，他没有忘记他是属神的人，所以他有第三个身份，是属灵的身份，是属神的人的身份。So
his third identity is a spiritual identity. He belongs to God.
那今天我们相信耶稣，受洗成为基督徒之后，我们就已经具备了第三个身份。So
after being baptized, we believe in him, we all have this third identity.
这第三个身份是属灵的身份，是属神的人的身份。This
is a spiritual identity. This identify we belong to God.
那当我们在生活中，我们不理会我们的第三个身份，甚至我们忘掉它。Sometimes
during our normal life, we kind of neglect this identity or even don't remember it.
更甚至，我们有的时候刻意会掩盖这个第三个身份。A
lot of time, we probably purposely conceal that third identity in some situation.
最痛苦的人是谁呀?
So who suffered the most when we do that?
我相信第一痛苦的是那个为你施洗的人。I
think the first one that suffered the most will be the one that baptized you first.
更痛苦的就是那个为你施洗的所奉召的那位圣父圣子。
And the one that suffered the most is the one that actually called you to be Christian.
就像我们今天的移民父母一样，曾经有一个姑娘，从小在教会长大，最后上了高中。他们学校呢，每次活动的时候呢，就特别喜欢吃他爸爸所经营的那个餐厅里边的菜。
Just like some of the immigrant parents, like a kid was brought up, he always liked the food that his father cooked from his restaurant.
大家别忘了，是他的第二代。然后呢，每当他爸爸辛辛苦苦把这个菜送到他们学校的时候，你知道这个女孩子从教会从小长大的女孩子对她爸爸说什么 ？Don't say N-word.
So when his father's trying to bring this,
一句话你不要讲，你那烂英文。
So when his father's trying to bring the food to the school, and the girl was saying to his father, "Don't say anything because your English is not very proficient."
所以，作为父母来讲，最痛苦的就是我们所生养的孩子不理会我们，忘掉我们，甚至在人面前故意掩盖，不认识我。
So the most suffering a parent has is your children are kind of don't want to pay attention to you, and also they conceal their identity. They are your children.
那大家可能说，你怎么认为你心里他能够认识到他的第三个身份？
So maybe one question: how would Nehemiah recognize he has this unique third identity?
因为他作为以色列犹太人的第四、第五代移民。 担任了一个不信神的国家的总统身边的高官之后，他依然能够保持向那位神祈祷的生活。The
after being a fourth or fifth generation of immigrant as a Jewish immigrant, and he was staying in this dwelling country that doesn't believe in God. The reason why he understands his third identity because he still sustain a life of
praying.
So in verses 4 of Nehemiah chapter 1, it says, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven."
哭泣流泪，禁食祷告。 自古以来，这些都是信神的人、属神的之人，战胜艰难困苦的最有力的武器。
The most effective weapon for people who believe in God to conquer all the afflictions and trouble is by crying, weeping, fast, and prayer.
大家记得前不久我们分享的雅各，他得到以色列这个以色列之父的这个名字是用。
I share with you something about Jacob. He was able to receive what he won through crying and praying.
但是作为今天的基督徒，我想问弟兄姐妹们，祷告难不难？I'd like to ask
you a question in regards to prayer. Is it difficult?
祷告难不难
？Is it difficult to pray?
相当难。 不是难，而且是相当难。
It's difficult, not only difficult, it's extremely difficult.
首先，我们生活在今天这个时代的信徒，有人说是神太溺爱我们。
A lot of people would believe when we live in this contemporary country, God loves us to a point that He spoils us.
你看，神容忍我们的科技一天天的迅速发展发达起来。
He allowed the technology to continue to advance in a very high speed.
使我们今天生活在这个世界上的基督徒的生活这么容易，这么的丰富。
So we live in a world that's so easy to live on, and we have a lot of resources.
所以我们可以靠着自己的力量，靠着我们手中所挣的那个钱财，去摆平眼前的困难。
So a lot of time we depending our own self to be able to resolve all the trouble we have in our life.
我们已经不习惯于去向神祈求了。So
we no longer accustomed to pray to God.
跟古代以色列人相比。So
compared to people in the Old Testament.
这是其一， 那再者呢，圣经中祷告往往是伴随着流泪、哭泣，甚至呢是哀嚎。
A lot of time in the Bible, recording when you pray, usually it's weeping, mourning, and sometimes it's really cry out loud.
请问大家有没有哭泣、流泪、哭泣、祷告，甚至哀嚎祷告的经历？
So
我相信有。
I don't know if you've experienced among you, we have like sometimes we cry, weeping in a point we actually will start wail.
那在旧约圣经中，大多的时候，流泪呀、哭泣呀、哀嚎啊，用的都是一个希伯来词儿。
In the Bible, in terms of crying, tearing, and wailing, they're using the same Hebrew word.
这个词儿叫巴卡。
In Hebrew, it's baka.
当一个人，尤其是成人，我们想象讲嚎啕大哭的时候，会有多少原因呢？
So when an adult wailing loudly, or what are the reasons cause that?
那我们来看看这个希伯来词巴卡，它有多少含义。
So let's see what are the intended meaning for this Hebrew word baka.
它有哀伤，有屈辱，有欢乐，有气恼，有重负，还有忏悔。
So there's multiple meaning of those. They have grief, humiliation, joy, angry, burden, and repentance.
大家请注意这个忏悔的意思，忏悔就是认罪，对罪的敏感。是今天我们要接受的一个挑战。
And I want you to understand this repentance really is to recognize our sins.
因为对罪的敏感是犹太以色列人信仰中根深蒂固的思想。
Sensitivity to our sins is really a root or foundation of the Jewish belief or faith.
在圣经中有一个最典型的例子，就是以色列历史上被称为合神心意的大卫王。
Well, one of the very great examples is King David, who is pleasing to God's will.
那他最丑陋的一件事情呢，就是以借刀杀人的手段害死了他手下一个忠诚的将士。
He murdered one of his warriors indirectly.
然后娶了对方的妻子，二人生下了一个孩子。
And married the warrior's wife and have a son.
当神差遣先知拿单，对他发出指责，并且神亲自击打他的孩子之后，他马上就认罪。
And when it's pointed out by the prophet Nathan, he able to confess his sins right away.
他说："我得罪了耶和
He says, "I sin against Jehovah."
之后呢，他与他的臣仆有一段对话。
And later on, there was a conversation between him and Nathan.
撒母耳记下12:21-23，臣仆问他说："你所行的是什么意思啊，大王啊？孩子活着的时候你进食哭泣，孩子死了你倒起来吃饭。"大卫说："孩子还活着，我进食哭泣，因为我想或者耶和华怜恤我，使孩子不死也未可知。孩子既然死了，我还何必进食呢？我岂能使他返回呢？因为我。"也必往他那里去，他却不能回到我这里来。
As recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 12:21-23, his attendant asked him, "Why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that child is dead, you get up and eat." He answered, "While the child was still alive, I fasted, wept, I thought, who knows?" The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he's dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me.
所以哭泣流泪进食祷告，其中很大的成分就是向神认罪。
So a lot of a very important part of when you're crying, weeping, and praying, really the most important part is confess and repentance.
认罪悔改，求神赦免。
So confession, repentance, and ask forgiveness from God is the main reason.
所以说一句更加挑战的话，就是说我们今天的基督徒之所以不习惯于祷告，是因为我们对罪 太不敏感了。
So in other words, really the reason why we don't want to pray is we don't have a great sensitivity about our sins.
因为我们没有像以色列犹太民族那样因着罪、因着悖逆神而受到那样国破家亡、成为俘虏、那样刻骨铭心的那种惩罚。
Because we are not being punished by like Israel, they sustain all this severe pain of losing their home, losing their country.
有一位中国大陆家庭教会背景的弟兄来到美国一段时间之后。
There was one brother coming from the States. He has a background in the underground family church.
他非常感叹的分享说。
So he kind of shared with us with kind of like grief.
他说自从来到美国之后，无论是在教会还是在神学院的祷告，每一次都觉得非常的苍白无力。
So I was, when I come to state, even at school and or in the seminary class that I'm having or church, I felt that my praying is really just kind of don't have meaning in it.
他说没有一次感觉到是一种有生命的祷告。
So I don't feel that prayer has a life in it.
他这样讲，他说为什么呢？别人就问他为什么呢？他说我每一次祷告的时候，我那个泪怎么就流不下来呀？
And the reason people ask him why, he said, every time I pray, I don't feel that tear coming out of my eyes.
他说在美国做基督徒啊，太轻松，太享受，太没有压力了。
He was saying being a Christian in the United States is really very easy and very enjoying. There's not much pressure or oppression, so to speak.
有一首早年在中国大陆家庭教会流行的诗歌叫《中国的早晨五点钟》。
That's probably most of you are familiar. There was one very famous song in China. It's 5 o'clock in the morning in China.
所以在北美的许多弟兄姐妹们曾经问过作者说，你为什么说中国早晨五点钟
？So that people asking why do you write this song about the 5 o'clock in the morning in China?
因为早年家庭教会的弟兄姐妹们，早晨五点钟天不亮的时候，就上山上跪到那个石头上祷告，
so,
直到天亮。
So back then, the family church had this tradition. At 5 o'clock in the morning, they will hike to the mountain, knelt down and pray until sun comes up.
他们许多时候在那祷告，是流泪，是哭泣，甚至是哀嚎。
So when they pray, they cry, they weep, they even in a stage of wailing.
所以求神感动，我再次邀请我们在座的，我们教会所有受洗成为基督徒的弟兄姐妹们。
So God's willing, I'd like to all ask all people have been baptized.
最少每个月能不能有一次来到教会参加周三晚上的祷告会
？So at least once a month you can come and participate this prayer meeting on Wednesdays.
让我们跪在这地毯上，而不是跪在石头上。
So we'll kneel down, pray together on the carpet, but not on the rock.
一起来学习祷告的功课。
Learning this lesson of praying together.
求神赦免我们的罪。
Ask God to forget our sins.
求神唤起我们对自己的第三身份，就是属灵身份的认知。
Also, ask us God to help us to awaken our recognition of third identity.
让我们一起来委身主耶稣赐给我们的大使命的事工。
Submit ourselves to this great mission work.
也是更求神能够带领我们教会，求神赐福我们教会。
So continue.Pray God to lead our church and bless this church.
值得感恩的是，我们教会校园团契的年轻的弟兄姐妹们。
Thanks to God, our campus worship group.
从上一周开始，他们已经开始了，决定并开始了每周四晚上在校区组织一个校园的祷告会。
So starting last week, they have this prayer meeting together on every Thursday on campus.
愿神赐福这个祷告会。
May God bless this prayer meeting they have in the University of Notre Dame.
那我相信现在我们再一起来读一读尼希米的祷告的时候，可能会有不一样的感觉。
So after we understanding that thing, then we trying to read Nehemiah's prayer, we have a different feeling and different understanding.
尼希米记一章五到十节，耶和华天上的神，大而可畏的神啊，你向爱你、守你诫命的人守约施慈爱，愿你睁眼看、侧耳听你仆人昼夜在你面前为你众仆人以色列民的祈祷，承认我们以色列人向你所犯的罪，我与我父家都有罪了。我们向你所行的甚是邪恶，没有遵守你借着仆人摩西所吩咐的诫命、律例、典章。求你纪念所吩咐你仆人摩西的话，说：你们若犯罪，我就把你们分散到万民中。但你们若归向我，谨守遵行我的诫命，你们被赶散的人虽在天涯，我也必从那里将他们招聚回来，带到我所选择立为我名的居所。这都是你的仆人，你的百姓，就是你用大力和大能的手所救赎的。
Nehemiah chapter 1 verses 5. O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands.Let your ears be attentive and let your eyes be open to hear the prayer of your servant. He's praying before you day and night for your servant, the people of Israel. I confess the sin we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses.Saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nation. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if you exile people at the forest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as dwelling for my name.
尼希米用了三个不同的称呼，流泪哭求神。
So we use through a different description.
耶和华，天上的神，尤其他用大而可畏的神来称呼神。
So, O Lord God of heaven and the great and awesome God.
在以色列民中，他们头脑中的神是伟大而可怕的，有威严的。是有恐惧的全能的神。
In terms of Jewish understanding, the God is a magnificent God with a royalty and show great respect.
所以经文中我们了解到，他们非常清楚，犹太民族国破家亡、颠簸流离而被掳，是这位神所实行的公义的审判、惩罚他们悖逆的结果。
And in Jewish, they understand their exile and being a captive by this Babylon is because they are wicked behavior and the punishment from God.
所以他更相信唯有这位神能够将犹太国民遣返回到家。
And he also firmly believed God is the only person that can return them back to their hometown.
那在尼希米的这段祷告中还多次提到一个词儿，仆人。
In Nehemiah's prayer, a lot of time mentioned about servant.
在旧约圣经中，除了本身有奴隶、奴仆的意思，就这个仆人。
So there's a couple meaning. There's a meaning being a slave or servant.
那还有一个重要的称呼，就是耶和华的仆人。
The other one, very important one, is Jehovah, the servant of the Lord.
这个身份是一个被耶和华神特别选召来完成他的施工的，来敬拜他的，来服侍他的一个荣耀的职位。
So in terms of the servant of the Lord, he's a very, very royal calling. God called those people to come and serve him.
所以他把这个将耶和华上帝的仆人这个荣耀的职分。冠在他自己的头上， 灌在摩西的头上，灌在以色列民和以色列百姓的头上。
So he crowned all Jewish and himself such a royal names of servant to the Lord.
这就是尼西米，一个相信神的人与神之间的关系。
So this is Nehemiah's belief that relationship between him and God, is he's being a servant of the Lord.
但是到了新约时代，主耶稣来到这个世上之后，将神与人这种仆人的关系做了一个升华，升华成什么样关系了？
In the New Testament,
朋友。
The relationship between our believer and God, that relationship changed and into as friend.
今天我们教会夏令营的主题是什么？还记不记得
？I don't know. You still remember our theme for this fall retreat?
还记得吗？何等美善的关系
！What a good and pleasant relationship！
怎样一个何等美善的关系
？So what kind of good and pleasant relationship？
仆人、朋友、同工。
So the trilogy of this are servant, friends, and co-workers.
所以我们看一段圣经，《约翰福音》15:14-15：“你们若遵行我所吩咐的，就是我的朋友了。以后我不再称你们为仆人，因为仆人不知道主人所做的事。”我乃称你们为朋友，因为我从我父所听见的已经都告诉你们了。
In Gospel John recorded as following: You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servant because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my father, I have made known to you.
所以在秋令营的时候，我曾问过大家一个问题，说请大家想一下。在我们教会的弟兄姐妹中，你身边有没有这样一个人
？So, in the fall retreat, I ask you a question. Whether you have such a person that you can think of among the brothers and sisters in our church.
当你半夜2点需要紧急的帮助的时候，你会不加思索的拿起电话就拨那个人的电话号码。况且你非常相信，你有把握，他绝对不会拒绝你。我们身边有没有这样的朋友
？So in the middle of the night, around 2 or 3 o'clock, and you have some emergency, is anyone who you can call right away, and you also believe that a person would not reject your request?
我们身边有没有这样的朋友？有几个这样的朋友
？Do you have such a friend or maybe such friends?
所以也是在我们这次修炼营最后有一句话说：“愿神帮助我们。”使我们能够成为他人这样的朋友，好不好
？So the challenge in the full retreat is asking yourself to become that kind of person that you can help in the middle of the night.
尼希米记1:11，求你垂听我的祷告，也垂听所有敬畏你的仆人的祷告。求你帮助我今天顺利成功，使皇上向我开恩。
In Nehemiah, verses 11, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man.
大家知道吗？前面第三节经文记载，那些流亡归回的难民遭大难是有原因的。
Well, there's a great reason why those remnant are being under such a great distress.
在尼希米前面有一卷圣经是以斯拉记中记载，在10多年前，周边犹大周边地区的几个官员联合写信状告给波斯的皇帝，反对流亡归回的犹太人建圣城、修建城墙。正是尼希米眼下他所服侍的这个国王下了禁令，然后才使他的民遭受大难、受骚扰、受凌辱，他们的日子一天不如一天。
In the book of Ezra, which is a chapter, book before that, it was recorded that back in some years ago, it was the same king that published law to prevent those Jews to do anything in reconstructing the Jerusalem. And so the Jerusalem people back in Redmond, have been under a lot of distress and persecution.
那开始我们提到的美国那位新闻人物在讽刺、批评感染了埃博拉的肯特医生，他们之后呢，他认为他说生活在美国国内的富人和有影响力的人给他们这些人传福音，比挽救遥远非洲那些穷人和被遗忘的人的生命更重要。So
this new lady that was saying more in terms of the humanitarian aid to West Africa. Her point is more important to spread gospel in the States than sending people to West Africa.
难怪他认为肯特宣教士是白痴。
Then she was, and that is the reason why he holded that comment that Ken is an idiot going to the West Africa.
那当他看到尼西米这样已经跻身高官了，还去关怀那些流亡的难民。
Now we consider his her point that really Nehemiah holding such a royal position and have a compassion for the poor people in Jerusalem, that he is really is considered even an idiot.
因为尼西米他想干什么呀？他想祷告，要推翻国王下的禁令啊。
Because he want to pray to prevent that decree that this king is given to the people of Jerusalem.
这什么力量让尼西米这样冒着一种身败名裂甚至性命不保的这样一种胆量？
So what gave him this courage to be able to endure such a challenge to save, to help this remnants in Jerusalem?
他做这样冒险事情的唯一一个原因，就是他没有忘记他的第三个属神之人，他的属灵神。
The reason he can endure such a great difficulty is because his recognition of his third identity.
因为他有一颗信靠、顺服主命的心。
Because he has a heart of trusting and obey God's command.
他相信，在人看来百分之百不可能的事情，只要在神手里头，怎么样，万事都能。His
firm belief that things considered impossible in humankind will be definitely possible in God's.
他相信，唯有神听了他的哭泣、流泪、进食、祷告之后，在神没有难成之事。
He believed that if the God can listen to his fasting prayer, everything is possible.
弟兄姐妹们，今天我们借着尼希米记第一章的经文，从一个在不信神的皇帝的身边担任高官的尼希米这个第四、第五代人的身上。So,
brothers and sisters, we're learning something from Nehemiah, who has been, he is the first and fourth generation of Jewish. And then he buried this royal position next to a king of Persia.
从这个第四、第五代移民的身上，我们之所以能够看到他身上迸发出的那种委身服侍的生命魅力。
So we can see his life manifested through his complete submission to the servantship, servanthood to the Lord.
因为什么呀?
Why is he doing that?
因为他没有忘记他的第三个身份，他是属灵之、属神之人的属灵身份。
And the reason why he have a complete submission to the servanthood is because his recognition of his third identity, his spiritual identity.
属神之人手中最有力的武器是什么?
So what is the most effective weapon of the people that belong to God?
哭泣流泪，进食祷告。
Weeping and fasting prayer.
大家读没读过有一个故事叫撒旦的聚会，或者撒旦开会。
I don't know if you've ever heard about a story about Satan's meeting or is holding a meeting.
撒旦说：“我们无法使基督徒不去教会，也没有办法让他们不读经、不明白真理。”So
Satan says we cannot prevent people going to the church, and we cannot prevent them to understand the truth.
那旁边的一群小魔鬼说：“那我们怎么办？”The
little devil says, "What can we do?"
撒旦回答说：“很简单，让他们忙碌啊。
”And Satan says, "Just keep them busy.
让他们为了生活，为了家庭，让她丈夫一周工作七天，每天工作12个小时。
Let them busy that husband work 12 hours a day for 5 days a week.
这样他们才能够挣够足够的钱，让他们过上豪华的生活。
And they can earn a very good living and lead a very comfortable life.
所以他们就离教会远了。
And sooner they do that, they just start to depart from church.
他们就离神远了，离我们就近了。后来小魔鬼说："好啊，让我们做去吧，分散到全世界。
And there will be a stay farther, farther away from God, and then will become our friends.
所以有人说，这个"忙碌"这个词儿、"busy" 这个词儿可以拆开来看。
So a lot of people kind of study is busy. That can be break it up into four different words.
B 是住 ，U 是在下面 ，S 是什么？撒旦。Y 呢是担子。
So being under Satan's yoke.
所以就是在撒旦的下面担担子，好 happy 啊，好幸福啊，好多钱呐、啊。
So every time you're staying busy, you're bearing under Satan's yoke.
所以弟兄姐妹们，虽然我们生活在这个时代里，生活在这个物质极度的发达的国度里边。
So living in this era of materialism.
为了生计，我们可能会像你心里表面的身份那样，非常非常的忙碌。
So we'll probably hold a life just like Nehemiah, a very busy life, just keep up to live in the society.
但是不要忘记了我们的第三个身份。
But don't ever forget about third identity.
我们是属神的人。
We belong to God.
神是我们的朋友。
God is our friend.
神是我们的帮助。
God is our help at all times.
我们一起祷告。
Let's bow and pray together.
恩主，我们慈爱的阿爸父，感谢你，感谢你赐给我们宝贵的话语圣经。
Our blessed Father, we thank you that you give us wonderful words and available words from the Bible.
让我们从主您的话语中，从主您所记载的那些前辈们的生命中，去思想我们的身份。
So we can meditate and think about our identity.
求主您帮助我们。
Lord, help us.
让我们在这个时代，我们生活，我们繁忙的时候，不要忘记时刻的记着我们的第三个身份，就是属您给我们的属灵身份。
In this business, continue to remind us our third identity, which is our spiritual identity.
愿我们学习尼西米。委身服侍主您。
That we can pray, will be like Nehemiah. We can submit to you to serve you, Lord.
让我们学习祷告的功课。
We also learn the lesson of praying.
让我们学习信靠的功课。
That we learn how to trust in you.
因为唯有主您在所不能。
Only in you everything is possible.
愿主您保守赐福。
May you bless us.
这样的感恩祷告祈求，奉靠主耶稣基督的名求。
His prayer and thanks is the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.